morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Renee Kranz. On today's show, we'll be talking to Mary Weber, the new interim clinical director at Catholic Family Services, about their telehealth services, and she'll talk about ways to deal with fear, stress, and isolation. I think she'll really be able to offer some help to those who need it, and that might be all of us right now. Before we talk to Mary, we'll check in with Biblical Bites with Dr. B to see what our resident theologian, Dr. Chris Bergwald, found in the scripture readings today. Hi, Dr. B.
Hi, Renee. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What were you going to say?
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Stop.
We're just going to fill this segment. Good. I'm good. Thanks. South Dakota, nice, man. It's all about.
Yeah. What do you got?
So, unintentionally, I keep focusing on the first reading at Mass, not because I haven't looked at the other readings, but there's just right away off the top of the bat. I don't know if that's a thing or not, but I'm making it a thing. Top of the head. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Something right away that I'm like, oh, this is something to talk about. So last week, do you remember what we talked about last? I'm throwing you under the bus, Renee. Are you ready though?
We talked about Hellenists and
Hebrews.
Thank you. Right. It left my brain.
And I'd ask you to recap, but we don't have time.
Right.
So Hellenists and Hebrews, the two groups of Jewish Christians, so people who were raised and have been practicing Jews, who became Christians, accepted that Jesus was their Messiah. But there's two groups of them. The Hebrew Jewish Christians, that is those who had grew up there in the Holy Land, Jerusalem and that whole area, Judea. But then the Hellenists were those Jews who had grown up elsewhere in the Roman Empire, had migrated to the Holy Land and then become Christian.
Okay.
Okay.
What does this have to do with this week?
Okay, go. The week before that, Peter proclaimed the gospel, if you will, to all the Jews. So Peter proclaims the good news to the Jews in Jerusalem. Then the next week we get the sort of division amongst Hebrews and Hellenists. Now, this week, this is how Acts of the Apostles, the first reading from Acts of the Apostles begins. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. Samaria. The Samaritans. Samaria is where Samaritans live.
Okay.
Samaritans are, they're not the bad guys really in the Gospels, but they're sort of like the, we don't want to be around them.
They're the whipping boy.
So literally, they are. Literally, good, faithful Jews would go around Samaria to get from Galilee in the north down to Judea in the south, which
they
is
they literally went around them.
They literally would go around. Yes, because we can't go through Samaria. We can't go near the Samaritans. We're going to go around, like we're going to add days to our journey to avoid going through Samaria. What did the poor Samaritans do, Renee? Do you have any idea? Why are they the whipping boy? Do you know? You can just say no.
I do not know.
Okay. The Samaritans were the people who live in Samaria. We established that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Samaria used to be part of the kingdom of Israel back in the day, centuries before Jesus' time. But foreign powers had come in and taken all the Israelites, most of them who lived there, out and brought in pagans. So the people who lived in what by Jesus' time had become known as Samaria were the descendants of a mixture of Jews or Israelites and pagans who had married together, and they sort of mixed their religions together.
Oh.
So they're like to use, some of you will get this cultural reference, some of you won't, but they're mudbloods.
Okay.
So they're like for a Jew, they're my distant relatives who mix together faithful Judaism with false religion.
Okay.
So in a way, they're worse than the pagans because they should know better.
Right.
But they mixed paganism in with what God gave to us through Moses. Okay. So they're worse than Hicks from the Sticks. The Galileans are the Hicks from the Sticks.
Right.
So where Jesus is from, they're the Hicks from the Sticks. The Samaritans are even worse than they're like you kind of people. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense.
Okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
So geographically, if you look at a map, Jerusalem is in Judea, and that's in the southern part of the Holy Land. Then you got Samaria in the middle, and then you've got Galilee in the north. That's okay. Where Nazareth is, Capernaum, where Jesus, Mary and Joseph and Jesus returned to the Holy Land, we go back to Nazareth. That's where Jesus grew up.
In Galilee.
Mostly. Right. In Galilee. So what do we read? Again, we go back to this first sentence. Philip, this is Philip the deacon, not Philip the apostle.
Okay.
Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Wait. Samaria is north of Jerusalem.
Right.
What does that mean, that he went down to the city of Samaria?
So he actually went down in rank. That's not the right word.
Right. So what does that mean? He went down because he literally went down because Jerusalem is built on a what?
Oh, on a hill. Sure.
On a mountain, frankly. Yeah. It's built on a mountain. So Jerusalem is elevated. So wherever you're going, directionally wise, like whatever's of a compass.
What's different way? Saying.
Northwest, east, south. You go down from Jerusalem. Whether you're going north or south, you're going down from Jerusalem. So like if you were in video, because I'm gesturing to you right now, as even though Philip's going north on the map, he's going down to Samaria as he travels north, because Samaria is down in elevation from Jerusalem. Are you with me? Okay. So Philip, the deacon, goes down to the city of Samaria and proclaims the Christ to them. What's the Christ? That's Jesus, right?
Right.
But why in the translation does it say the Christ? Because remember, Christ means, you may not know this, Christ means Messiah.
Right.
So he went to proclaim this Messiah to them because they too, the Samaritans, as backwards, as mixed with the paganism as they were, as we know from John chapter 4, the woman at the well, they were also waiting for the Messiah.
Right.
And some of them had met Jesus, but now Philip is coming and he is announcing, remember Jesus, or maybe you never met Jesus of Nazareth? He is the Messiah that you've been waiting for. We're getting an expansion, Renee, of who the gospel is proclaimed to. Jews, then Jews who are not from the Holy Land, now the Samaritans. Who's going to be next?
The Gentiles.
The Gentiles. Us. Yes. You and me. That's what's coming up next. But we're seeing this in the first reading of these readings of Mass, this slow progression, outward, outward, outward. Now we're at the Samaritans.
Awesome. Great stuff, Dr. B. Now let's move on to our interview. Today on Catholic Views, I am joined in the studio by Mary Weber, Interim Director for Catholic Family Services. How are you, Mary?
I am having a good day.
Oh,
thank
good.
You.
Good. It's, it's Sunday. Wink, wink. It's Thursday here, but it's Sunday. And it's good that you're ending the week well. And we'll begin the week well next week.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit today about the services you guys are offering, especially the telehealth, because a lot of people probably don't know about that. And we'll talk a little bit about fear and stress and isolation and just how we can all handle that right now. So tell me a little bit first about yourself, since you're a little new to the role.
Sure. So I am from Sioux Falls. Been married to a wonderful man for 30 years, and we have 3 adult children and just became a grandma, so that's been fun. And I've been a counselor for 32 years and have worked with Catholic Family Services in a contract role for the last 5 years. And then at Christmas time, thought about coming here more on a part-time basis and decided to have that happen in March. And I came here the first week, and then kind of the pandemic started to roll in. So
what a great way to start.
Yeah, it has been, we have a plan and then God has a different plan. It was one of those experiences.
He laughs at us, doesn't he, when we have a plan?
Yeah.
So with everything that's happening right now, are you seeing an increase in people coming to Catholic Family Services for help, for counseling? What's happening there?
Sure. Well, I think just kind of like the rest of the world, that first week or two, people were nervous about coming and there was this fear and people were almost a little bit paralyzed. But what we were able to do, and very quickly, thanks to this amazing diocese, we were able to offer telehealth within like 3 days. We were able to find a great HIPAA compliant site. And so that really has helped, because that anybody that doesn't feel comfortable coming for an in-person session, because we still are offering those as well. Mm-hmm. And then we have this big, beautiful building, so we have bigger spaces, so we can use a conference room where right. we can have more social distancing, so we can provide that. But also the telehealth, so maybe they're from a rural area, or maybe they're a little bit older, or they have a health condition, and they want that counseling support, but in the safety of their home. So it has just been such a wonderful option.
Yeah, that's great. So people are still coming in for counseling.
Yes.
And doing a little bit of both, a
yes.
little telehealth, a little...
Yes, we
yeah.
never closed down.
Yeah.
We thought that it was just too important. So I would say those first few weeks, it was probably 90% telehealth, mm-hmm. 10%. Some people still just wanted to come in. So we just did social distancing and took all the precautions. And now I would say it's maybe moving more towards 70 to 80% telehealth and 20 to 30% starting to come in.
Right.
And I think that balance will just continue, and we will continue to offer both so people can decide what's best for them.
Right. Well, the nice thing, if people don't know this about Catholic Family Services, is when you come, if you are going to actually come in, you come in a side door that takes you basically right to their office. You don't have to walk all over through the building or anything like that. You can very safely come in, walk into the office, and you're right there. So it's very easy.
It is very private and mm-hmm. respectful. And, you know, if you are walking by someone, you never know what someone might be in this building for. They might be right. making a donation, or they might be visiting someone in a different building.
Yes.
So we really spread out our clients and very much honor confidentiality and yeah. privacy. And then when they come in, we've just created, I think, just a very warm and amazing environment
yeah.
for
yeah.
people.
Most definitely. So the situation we're in is something most of us have never experienced, unless if you were alive during the Spanish flu, maybe.
Yes.
How do you think people are doing, and what you've talked with people about?
Sure. I think people are doing as well as can be expected, mm-hmm. because it is so different. You know what I think? I think in the Midwest, we are amazing, hardy, hardworking, good ethics people. And you know, we survive blizzards
yeah.
and, you know, just such, I mean, the farming community, I mean, flooding last year.
Yeah.
I mean, this fall, our community had a tornado. I mean, I think we are very resilient. The one thing about this that I've noticed has been different is how long will it last?
Right.
Because if I think people know how to dig in for 3 days, 5 days, even that first month, even though I saw fear, understandable fear and stress, it was like, okay, we got this.
Mm-hmm.
What I've seen happen is almost in that second month, I think it kind of can wear people down. And then mm-hmm. it's impacted people financially. You know, kids that I see that aren't getting to have their typical graduation or all that amazing end of the year school stuff.
Right.
You know, it's crossing this off their schedule. You know, people that are planning weddings, mm-hmm. So many events. I don't know one person that this hasn't impacted in some way.
Right.
And so I think people are really, really doing their best. I think it's heavy and hard, though.
Yeah, because there's so much uncertainty
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So I know you go into it, you're thinking, okay, there's uncertainty about the virus. And then suddenly there's uncertainty about maybe your job or you know, other pieces there. How are other family helping? And you didn't think about that at first. So you're right. It just gets heavier and heavier mm-hmm. every time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fear and stress there. So what does that do to us when we have that, especially over long periods of time?
Sure. You know, a little bit of stress and a little bit of fear, they're not bad things. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're part of our human condition. You know, sometimes we need to be just a little bit stressed to get that last paper done or to get that report turned in. You know, stress can
yeah.
kind of give us a little motivation to get that house clean because yeah. company's coming, or
right.
To get that crop in the field before the rain comes. So a little stress is okay. I think it can get used to motivate us, and a little bit of fear is all right too. That might help us discern, you know what, we're not going to go for a walk. late at night because that might not be safe. So fear can help us with discernment. I think it's kind of like on a continuum though. And when stress, I heard Father Odell use this phrase and I thought it was so powerful, when stress turns to distress.
Oh yeah.
And then it gets too high, and when our fear becomes almost paralyzing, and when we get defined by our fear or our stress, then I think that's when some unhealthiness comes in, and it can raise our cortisol level in our brain. It reduces our serotonin level in our brain. Our serotonin is our mood stabilizer. And then our cortisol, it shoots up when we kind of need to be in that fight, flight, and freeze mode, which is good to have once in a while.
Like when you need it.
Yeah. Like if you're driving and you get sleepy and you kind of get that like, whoa, mm-hmm. that surge of energy, that's cortisol. I mean, that's a good thing. But if our cortisol is high every single day, then our body can go into exhaustion, or, you know, because we can't stay hyper aroused all the time.
Right.
Because then something has to give. And that's where sometimes people start to feel overwhelmed. They start to numb, they start to feel a little bit paralyzed by their feelings. And then those are some signals that, okay, we got to kind of unpack this, this heaviness that we're feeling, because it's starting to define us. Mm-hmm. And then that's where it becomes concerning.
Sure. So what are some things that we can do to handle those feelings, and especially the isolation too, on top of the stress and fear, because maybe we can't see I haven't been able to see my mom since I think it's been Christmas. And it's, everybody is dealing with that. So
right.
What are some ways we can handle those feelings and those problems?
Right. Boy, that's such a good question. And you know, sometimes again, too, in the Midwest, I think we say, hi, how are you? And the response is, I'm fine. How are you? And it's this exchange. And I actually think it's very brave to be able to say, I'm not having a great day, mm-hmm. or this is hard right now. So I think one of the first things is we have to name it.
Right.
We have to name what is that stress, what is that fear, because it's kind of like air. You know, you can't see it, you can just feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can name it, it starts to become tangible, and then we can make a plan.
Right.
So if our stress is, I'm feeling isolated, I'm worried about finances, I'm worried about the health of this family member. Okay, now we've named it. So then once we name it, then I like to help people look at, okay, what elements of control do we have? So if we're feeling isolated, and I know it's different, and we have to grieve that, mm-hmm. right? We have to grieve that we are in a different time, but knowing that it won't last forever.
Right.
But I think we can grieve. We can grieve the losses. But then, so once we've named the fear or the stress, then what can we do with that? So if it's isolation, again, not the same, but can we do something for that your mother?
Right.
Could we, you know, stand outside her door? Could we deliver something? As the weather gets gorgeous, we're supposed to have some beautiful days. Would it be okay for that person to stand on their porch and us to stand, you know, a bit away from them, but still get to see them?
Yeah.
Are we talking on the phone more? Can we FaceTime? Can we write letters? I've been receiving some letters. Wow, what a lost art. Can we make something for someone? Mm-hmm. Can we, because when we see that we're not alone in this, there's other people that are feeling isolated. There are other people that are worried about income. There's other people that are worried about family members. All of a sudden, it can kind of unite us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always try and think of, once we name it, what can we do about it? And I know it looks different, but what can we do about it? And then what are some very healthy things we can do for ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do we need to go out for walks more? Do we need to shut the TV off and not be inundated with social media? Because again, our brain can't process all of that. So it's just like pouring water over us. It overwhelms us.
Especially if we watch maybe too much news. It's good to be informed,
yes.
but maybe watching it all the time can make that worse.
Right. Because sometimes what I've noticed is the news is repeated, but our brain doesn't always know it's repeated. So I have a personal story. I saw an evening and it said breaking news. And you know that your heart kind of like, oh gosh, now what? And I woke up, turned the news on. Breaking news. I'm like, oh, now what? Well, here it was a repeat story, but it took me a while to kind of discern that. And again, that's that hyper arousal. So yes, what is that balance between being informed, but not being inundated and overwhelmed?
Right, right. Yeah, I think it's for myself, I definitely had to stop watching so much news, and that actually made things way better. And when I was able to come back to work as well, be around people, even though I'm an introvert, it helped a lot to be able to come back and be around people and see there are other people still in the world. And it's not just me and the grocery store people, you know?
Yes, yes.
So
I agree.
It helped a lot.
And for people that are feeling isolated, even going for a drive or going for a short walk or even being on your front step and seeing a car drive by, it is that sense, wow, I'm not in this totally alone.
Right.
And then keeping any kind of a routine. You know, it's fun to sleep in. It's fun to be in our pajamas. But again, our body, we are designed for structure, routine. So getting up, okay, this is what I do on Mondays. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a Friday. This is what Fridays look like. This is what Sundays look like. So even though churches look different, it's amazing that we get to start coming back to church, but even like, okay, this is Sunday. This is our Sunday routine. It helps give rhythm to our body, which also helps calm the fears.
Yeah, that makes sense. And take some stress away, I'm sure. Yeah. Now, there was a story you had told us recently about how someone was kind of handling some grief, which is kind of what we're doing now. We're, in a way, we're dealing with grief. And some people are actually dealing with some very heavy grief as well. So can you recount that for me? It was a really powerful story.
Well, I just think everybody who comes to counseling, really they're some of the healthiest people in the world because they're the ones that are saying, you know what, I need one more space to kind of talk about what's in my heart. And a lot of what I do, a lot of what Catholic Family Service does is grief counseling. We also see many people for anxiety, depression, for other issues, but a big center part is grief. And now we have grief and we have a pandemic.
Right.
And boy, talk about giving people so much to try and deal with. So, you know, being in this beautiful building and getting to be next to the cathedral, I mean, really a gift that is given to us every single day and or whatever church is nearest to you. But one thing I try and do, and I've done this recently in these past few weeks, because I had a particular client. I had her name her losses because she had had a family member die. And wow, that is just so heavy. And sometimes it doesn't feel like there's even words, but I had just given her cards and it was, you know, the loss of this dream and regrets and sorrow and memories. I mean, there were so many aspects. So she wrote them on each of the card, like one for every big feeling, anger, confusion, sadness. And she took all of her cards and we went into the cathedral and it's just such a beautiful space. And we are so fortunate as believers to know that we are not in this alone. Mm-hmm. And at first she lit a candle for her loved one. And it was the only candle burning. And that was so powerful. And then she looked up and there's a statue, and I think it's Joseph holding a child. And in front of it, there's a crucifix. And she laid her cards. She laid it down in front of the crucifix. Like she surrendered her, all those hard feelings, all those big emotions. And then as she looked up at the statue, she said, I think he's holding my child.
Aww.
And, you know, just such powerful imagery. And I just stepped away and let her have the moment. And I think I do that over and over with clients because there's something powerful of, yes, I have these big feelings, whether it would be grief or stress or fear, but God sees me in my pain. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to carry it all alone. And there's something about looking at the crucifix and seeing Jesus's arms stretched out. There has to be a message in there like, bring this to me.
Right.
And I also think it's set it down at the foot of the cross. Like, I will carry this for you. And sometimes we have to do that over and over because then life goes on. And then here we just picked them all back up and we didn't even realize that.
That's because, so true.
Because feelings are a process. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to have this great story. It's a one and done kind of thing. No, we have to name it and surrender it over and over and over.
Maybe every day.
Every day. Yeah. But we can do that at home too. We can light a candle and just name these fears or stress or the grief. And then we can lay it down like, Jesus, I am giving this to you.
Right.
And then that's because I've had people say, can I have fear and faith? Absolutely.
Yes.
They can sit side by side. Mm-hmm. But I do think we get to have a choice of which one leads, which one is louder.
Right. Right. So if we can bring our faith in louder.
Yeah.
Give up that fear to Jesus. And I think that really helps us. And pray about it. Mm-hmm. So we can let go of it eventually, even if it takes a little time.
Yeah. I was researching for a presentation I did, and it talked about, so I was looking up fear in the Bible, and I think it said fear was mentioned over 500 times.
Wow.
So this is as old as time. Yep. This might be a time in our lives where fear and stress is at its highest, possibly, but it's really as old as time.
Right.
And then someone was telling me about how many times it says, do not be afraid or bring your fears to me. And we know Jesus had times of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that gives us permission that it is a human emotion and it is okay. I think our challenge is, what do we want to do with
it? Right. Yep. Give it to him.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Mary, this all helps a lot. I think it'll help a lot of people be able to hopefully move through this a little more easily, or at least start to let go of some of the fear and maybe get back to a few more normal things in life and feel a little better about it. If someone needs to get in touch with Catholic Services or wants to come in, how can they contact you guys?
Well, our website is siouxfallscatholic.org/CFS, or our phone number is 988-3775.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
It was a great talk to you. Before we go today, I want to remind everyone to visit the Diocesan Facebook page, where you can find the live opportunities for youth, articles from the Bishop's Bulletin, and videos from the Bishop, and lots more. That is all for us today. Thank you for being here, and join us again next week for more Catholic Views.